This is a Pinball News production.
I'm with Multimorphic, and clearly we are here to talk about some pinball machines, and most specifically the P3. Before we get into it, why don't we give away a couple things right away? So, Kim, can I come and get that from you? Hurry up.
Let's start yapping.
Hi, Eric. So we have some t-shirts and some translates to give away. The deal with the t-shirts is we're just going to hand you a t-shirt if you win one. We have more in our booth. We have a couple different styles. We have a bunch of different sizes. So if you win a t-shirt and you want to switch it out for a different size or a different style, just come visit us in the booth and we'll take care of it. So everybody ready for a giveaway?
Yeah.
We will give away one of the same shirts that we're wearing. But like I said, if you don't like that one, change it out. You want to grab a ticket, Martin?
Cool.
All right. I am going to read the last three digits. Hopefully there aren't two of you with the same last three digits. Let me read the last four digits. You'd think everybody would be ready, but everybody's reaching into their pocket to find their ticket. That assumes I can read the names. I can definitely read the tickets, the numbers. The winner of this t-shirt is 2114. We have a winner. You can keep it.
Thank you.
All right, let's do one more t-shirt. Trey, you want to grab one for me? With your greasy pizza hand?
Where's your hand?
The winner is 2093. 2093. Right here. And now we're going to give away a, hopefully not the one we're about to reveal. This is a Lexi Lightspeed Translite, just like you might be able to see in that machine over there. Who's going to pick this time? Will you please pick a ticket? Not your own. If you pick your own, it's void.
He wins a machine.
No,
it's not your own? Yeah. The winner is 2034. And we have a winner.
There you go. Thank you.
You can hold on to that. All right, so let's get started and talk about the P3. What is the P3? It's a machine that's covered up by a sheet. It is... I feel like I can say this confidently. It is the most innovative pinball machine ever created. But that's not all it is. It's the most modular pinball machine ever designed. And we'll get into details and show you why all of this is true, or at least why I believe it's true. It's the most feature-rich pinball machine ever built. It's the most open and developer-accessible pinball machine ever created. It might be the only one ever created. The best price per game value in the industry by far. It's the best use of floor space in the industry, again, by far. And again, I'll explain why these things are true, or why I believe they're true. So the P3, an innovative, modular, feature-rich, it's an open pinball platform for physical pinball games. Most of you have probably seen it in the exhibit hall. If you haven't yet seen the P3, please raise your hand. So we do have two people. Welcome. This is the P3. See, it's innovative artwork, too. Yeah. You let your kids draw on it and turn it into whatever they want. The last important thing about the P3 is it's here. And by here, yes, it's sitting here, but we are also in the pre-production phase. So we are starting to build machines. And very soon we'll finish the pre-production phase, assuming everything goes well, and we'll get them into production. We'll start shipping them to customers. So it's been a process. We've been talking about it for about 3.5 years now. And the design is complete. The design is never complete. But the design is pretty much complete, and we're in pre-production, and we're starting to build them. So just real quickly, it's important to say this, because developing all of those things into a pinball machine, innovation, features, modularity, open access for developers, it takes a lot of people to do it. So I didn't prep anybody for this, but if you've been involved with the P3 development at all in any way, please raise your hand. There's about 10 people in this room who have been a part of it. We have a staff of 16 people, many of whom have just signed up as volunteers because they saw the machine at a show and were really excited about it. They saw the potential of it and they wanted to help. We are a startup company. We're basically self-funding the thing. We're bringing it to fruition because we believe in it and because we want to make it happen. And we believe the pinball industry needs something like this machine. So thank you to all of you who have been helping, all of you who are interested in supporting us as we do it. And we're looking forward to getting machines in production and shipping them out to you. So some of the goals Multimorphic has as a company. And when we started, we saw a need for new technology in pinball. Because pinball machines have been the same for decades. Really, the machines companies are building now are pretty much the same as they were 20 or 30 years ago. I mean, there may be some more advanced displays. People are starting to use LCD displays. That's pretty much the only difference. It's still the same mechanics, the same play styles, it's the same three-ball game that we've been playing forever. It's all pretty much the same. So I founded Multimorphic in 2012 to bring new technology to pinball. And we started with the PROC board. The PROC board is a circuit board that people can go buy and they can put it in their pinball machines and they can write new rules for their games. And we've seen people adapt this board. They've put the board into machines and they've created new rule sets for machines. You've probably heard of Bride of Pinbot 2 by Dutch Pinball, who was just here presenting their machine a second ago. There's a popular project called Cactus Cannon Continued by Eric Priepke, who's actually sitting here in the room eating pizza in the back there. Thank you, Eric. I think there's a Cactus Cannon Continued here, yes? Ed's set went up by the front door. So these are machines that traditionally, people would own them, they'd turn them on, and every time they turn them on, they'd be the exact same thing. You'd play through the rules, and you'd either enjoy it, or you'd not enjoy it, or you'd like it forever, or you'd get bored of it. And with this board we created, people could take it and enhance their games, breathe new life into their games by writing new rules. So we designed the PROC board, we designed a bunch of other circuit boards to fill out the control system, and now that we have a complete control system for pinball machines, we turned our attention to designing a machine that we felt could deliver new technology, could deliver interesting new game styles, new ways of attracting people to pinball, and we've developed that into the P3. So before we reveal the new games, I want to talk more about the traditional game that we have built. And for that, we're going to have TJ walk around with a camera. So we'll switch inputs on the projector to the camera. The Blair Witch Pinball Project. So this is Lexi Lightspeed, the same game we've had in the exhibit hall for the show. When we say we innovated, when we say we've created new technology for pinball, we've done that, but we've done that in a way that doesn't take away from the traditional pinball experience. There are people that are traditional pinball players, or people that like to own traditional pinball games. And there are things about the pinball machine that people think mean it's pinball. There's a physical ball, there are flippers, there's a playfield, there's artwork, there's lights, there's lamp shows. All those things are such an important part of pinball that we wanted to keep all that, but create these new ways of doing things with new technology and not lose that. So we feel like we've created a platform that people interested in new development and new types of gameplay and all those things can enjoy, but traditionalists and people who like traditional style of pinball, they can enjoy it too. So I want to walk through a couple of features on the machine and show you how we can do cool new things and we can also do traditional old things. So as far as, don't walk near speakers. As far as the gameplay itself, when you walk up to this machine, you walk up and it looks like a machine from the outside, a standard pinball machine. When you get close to it, you see this big playfield LCD, the front two-thirds of the game. We call that a dynamic and interactive display. It's dynamic, of course, because it's got graphics and we can change the way it looks. It's interactive because it's not technically, but it feels like a touchscreen television. So when the physical pinball rolls over those targets or those shapes, it can interact with them. We can have the shape or the target or the playfield artwork itself react to the ball rolling over it. Kind of like your finger does on an iPad or a phone. The ball can interact with graphics. It makes it interactive. Which is cool. We can do all kinds of new things. We can take that lower two-thirds of the playfield and create different types of interactions and have you interact with the machine in different ways. If you're a traditionalist or you're a designer of games and you don't want to take advantage of the dynamic and interactive display, then you simply design a game that has a static piece of artwork. You can design in some areas where it could have potentially blinking colors that represent insert lamps. And you could recreate an entirely traditional playing experience with this exact same game. So yes, we have a display in there. Designers can use that and create dynamic content and have the ball interacting with it, but they don't have to. They can create completely traditional styles of gameplay. So as far as the player goes, there's the upper playfield. There's the physical shot layout that we all know and love about pinball, those ramps and loops and targets and everything else the pinball can interact with. It's real pinball. All those things exist. In this specific case, that entire upper portion of the pinball playfield is a module. So we can lift that out, and we can put in a completely different one. Les is going to, because I can't get near that speaker, this is a playfield that goes into a P3. This is what's modular. This is what we can pull out. What TJ was just showing you on the playfield itself is the playfield, and Les is showing you just another version of the same game. So when we talk about modularity, that's one aspect of it. We can change out the upper portion of the playfield, put in an entirely different shot layout. It could have different toys, different ramps, different targets, different everything. And a little while later, we'll actually pull some playfields out of the machine and stick new ones in so you can see how easy it is to swap a playfield in this system. That's the playfield. And there are other things about this system that are entirely modular and easier to use too. So I'll have Les demonstrate some of these things. But there is, so if we pull the lockdown bar, the glass is already removed off of this game. And we'll have Les lift up the play field, put it into service position. Service position number two. We actually have two different service positions. One's just a little bit out of the game. One's a lot farther out of the game to make it easier for people to access the rear portion, which is the upper playfield module. Everything about this machine is modular. So if Les opens that front door on the machine, and let's say you're playing a game. Let's say you're playing in a tournament. You're playing in a tournament, and you have this really good game going, and your flipper breaks, or something stops working. What do you do with a traditional game? The tournament players here, what would happen? Colin, what would happen if a flipper broke in the middle of a game in a tournament? You might get compensated. But they'd probably have to shut down the machine, and so the whole game would be void, and maybe they'd let you replay the game or not. With the P3, you don't have to worry about any of that because you can literally pull out the entire flipper assembly and either replace it with a working one or repair it and stick it back in. But the point is, Les just fixed it. The point is that because of the modularity of the system, one, it's just easy to service. So anyone who owns a machine, they don't have to worry about pulling out their wrenches and screwdrivers and soldering irons and pulling the thing out, hunching over into awkward positions and repairing it in place. You literally just pull it out, take it to your workbench, and fix it. Our motto is never take a soldering iron to your pinball machine. Take your pinball machine to the soldering iron. Because every single component of the machine just comes out. Similarly, our playing surface, if it gets dirty or scratched or for some reason you need to repair it, the entire playing surface is a piece of plastic that slides in over top of the LCD monitor. If you need to clean it, you pull it out of the game. Now you can clean it. You don't need to disassemble your entire play field, unscrew all of the mechanisms and pull out the Novus 2 and the wax and then reassemble your game afterwards. Les pulled it out. He could have cleaned it. He stuck it back in. If that piece of plastic breaks or gets scratched and you don't want to use it anymore, it's literally a rectangular piece of plastic. You can go down to your local hardware store or your glass store and get a new piece of plastic cut, slide it right back in there, and you're good to go. As far as modularity goes, that's pretty much it for this demo. Now, what would you do if, John, you restore games. What would you do if your side art got scratched or got sun faded?
Break out the airbrush or something similar.
So John would break out the airbrush. Other people might buy new artwork if they don't have the artistic ability to repair it themselves. They'd pull out the heat gun or a big sander, and they'd take the machine into the garage after they took everything out of it. It's a process to switch the artwork on these things. With our game... Yeah, go ahead. Everything is modular. The artwork as well just literally comes straight off of the game. So because we're a modular system, we want people to be able to make the machine look the way they want it to look. It could represent the game that's installed. It could represent somebody's personal artwork. It could say Les's arcade on it, and he could have it in his game room or whatever. But if something happens to it, it's a piece of artwork that we can either reprint for you really cheaply, or you can run down to your local print shop, get a car magnet printed, and put it on your machine. If you're worried about it getting scratched or kids drawing on it, or you have a location and you're worried about people pulling it off of the machine and running away with it, we'll sell a kit that people can use, which has large pieces of very thin plastic that get screwed around the magnets, so you can secure your magnets on the machine so they can't be stolen or vandalized in any way. Let me stop right there and see if there are any questions about the machine. Anything you want to see that we're prepared to show you? Yes, there's a question back here.
Yeah, so you have the modular is just one third, the back plug field is just one third of the machine. So are there many things that you can recreate with non-physical parts? If it's just
the question is related to the modularity and what kind of games we're going to create. Let me rephrase the question, see if I got what you're asking. You're asking if there are some digital recreations we can do on the machine because there's a screen in there. We can create digital environments in addition to the modular physical part. What can't we do? So the back portion of the playfield is that module that Les just showed you. The front portion, you saw those flippers come out. TJ, show the side target modules. So those modules also are just literally slid into the machine. Now imagine you take that flipper plastic, the piece of plastic that's holding the flippers. It's a standard width wide piece of plastic that the mechanics float down from. If you extended that piece of plastic or had another plastic that went farther up the machine and replaced those side modules, you can hang down anything you want. You could hang down spinners or downward pushing pop bumpers, or you could extend ramps farther down. Any single thing you can do on a traditional machine, you can do on this platform. The difference is you might need to engineer it a different way. We don't have flippers poking up through the playfield and mounted to the underside of the wood. We have flippers floating down from this piece of plastic that's slid in from the top. We have concepts for floating pop bumpers. We have concepts for floating ramps, ramps that don't actually touch the playfield surface, but still allow the ball to go up the ramp. We feel like we can recreate pretty much anything. It's just a matter of thinking about things in a different way. Yes, question.
Yeah, the different parts you're coming up with, do you have a price point in mind as you develop P3? Like, I'm an EM aficionado, and I like the zipper flip. So if I came up with a way to create a zipper flip with P3, would I just approach you and then you would say, oh, we can do this, how much it costs?
The question is, if somebody has a design idea or wants to design a new mechanism, any kind of mechanism, the specific example given was a zipper flipper or any other kind of thing that somebody wants to design for the system, you're asking how much would it cost to develop or how much would it cost for someone to buy it?
And I wanted you to build it for me. Would you then have to take a while to come back and take the new
So the question is, if you come up with the design, how much are we going to charge basically to implement that design for you and then sell it back to you? The thing about the P3 is it's an open platform. So we're going to encourage people to design whatever they want for the system. That includes software development. We're releasing libraries. We're releasing mechanical specs. We're releasing electrical specs so you know how to interface to our control system. So the point of me saying that is you don't necessarily need to come to us to design it and create it for you. You could theoretically contract somebody and have it done, and you could market it. You could make money. You could sell it. We would like to be part of it in the sense that we need to make sure it works for the system and that it doesn't damage anything that anyone else has done or the system itself. But absolutely. Certainly, we have a whole roadmap of products and mechanisms and games and things we intend to develop. And at the same time, we want to encourage other people to develop things too. Before I follow on to that point, let me give some more stuff away. How about more T-shirts? All right. Need a new person to pick a ticket. Can you pick a ticket, please? Thank you. The winner of a T-shirt is 2086. 2086. Emoto. Again, with the T-shirts, if you want to switch them out for a different style or different size, just come visit us in the booth after the show. I didn't even verify her ticket, so she might have just completely lied to me. All right, one more T-shirt. Someone over here can pick for me, please. Will you please grab it?
I won't win, though.
Okay. The winning ticket number is 2031. 2031. In the back here. Does a large fit you? No? We have small T-shirts, but if you come to our booth, come to the booth afterwards, and we'll fix you up. Enjoy that. I'll take the ticket. Thank you. All right, let's give away one more Translite. Will you pick a ticket for me, please? I saw her looking, trying to find her own number. A new Lexi Lightspeed Translite 2032. We have a winner. So one more point about the modularity in the open system. If you're someone who wants to create a game, or you're someone who works for another pinball manufacturing company, you're someone who wants to create their own manufacturing company, we are not a competitor. I don't think we're actually a competitor to any of the manufacturers out there. And I say that because we've created a set of technology and a platform system, and we've made it open. And yes, we have patents pending on pretty much all of our new design ideas and all the new things we've implemented, the way we made things modular, the way we've done our playfield interaction, the way we've done some other assemblies in there, like our wall scoop assembly, which I didn't show off. We have patents pending for all those. Other pinball manufacturers don't need to try to recreate any of that because they can just use it. We have this platform. We're making it open. Anybody can make games for this system. If you're someone who has game ideas and have some friends, or you want to take an idea to another company and ask them to implement this game for you, maybe we'll do it, maybe another company will do it, you can leverage all of the technology we have in this system. You can create what we call the fun stuff, the game content, the gameplay, the shot layout, the artwork. You don't need to worry about the cabinet, the legs, the flippers, the control system, the back box. All of those things are part of the system. All those things are difficult and logistical nightmares to manufacture and to ship and to test and to do all those things. You don't need to worry about any of that. So whether you're just an individual who wants to create a game or you work for another pinball manufacturer, this platform is now available to you. So with that in mind, we've come up with a couple of games that we want to show you. And what we've been trying to do is start with a game that you all can relate to, like Lexi Lightspeed Escape from Earth, which is a traditional style game that has the features, ramps and loops and targets. It's actually got more targets than most traditional pinball machines. Even though we're restricted to the upper third on this design, we have more targets. We have three pop bumpers. We have things that most traditional games have, or even more than most traditional games have. But we want to continue developing games like that. We want to continue developing games that, you know, pinball fans enjoy. Deep rule sets and intricate shot layouts, lots of cool toys and complex mechanisms. But at the same time, we want to explore different styles of gameplay. Because we have this modular system, we don't have to, you know, spend a year of R&D, research and development, creating our new game idea, building a platform, building a machine, building the cabinet, doing all that stuff to try out a new idea. We can just develop an upper playfield now, throw it in a machine, and see if our new crazy idea works or if it's interesting. So what we're trying to do is create some new ideas, bring new ideas to pinball. Hopefully we can develop stuff that interests different age groups, different demographics, different types of people, people that aren't necessarily comfortable or familiar with pinball machines. A lot of people walk up to games these days in an arcade or on location or even in our homes, and they're intimidated by them because they're super complex, and you have all these shots, and you see blinking lights all over the place, and you don't know what to do. I walk up to new games from manufacturers. Any new game, probably most of us, we walk up to a new game and we start looking around and we can read the rule sheet on the side, but it takes 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 games before we understand what we're doing. And we think that's intimidating to a lot of people. So what we're trying to do is, in addition to building games like that, that pinball enthusiasts love, with the deep rule sets, with the intricate shot layouts, we want to explore different types of things. And that's what we're going to show today. So, if I can get a couple people to help me, I guess Les, you and I can probably manage to do this. This is our first new game for P3. We call it Cannon Lagoon. TJ is doing his best to show you, those who can't see up close, what the game looks like. Instead of me sitting here talking about it and explaining it to you, and you're all sitting in your chairs not able to enjoy the experience, what I want to do is invite up three of my favorite people in the world to come play this game. They've never seen it before, they've never played it before, but we'll allow them to interact with it for the first time. So Genevieve, Graham, and Gavin, would you please join me up here? So we have a stool for those of you who want to use it. I'm turning up the volume so hopefully people can hear it. I have no idea how loud it is because one of our developers didn't show the volume on the actual screen. All right, you want to play it first? All right, do what you do. Hit the start button and give it a try. All right, round of applause for Gavin, please. Gavin has the distinction of playing the first game ever of Cannon Lagoon. Let's give your brother a chance. Thanks. Was it fun? So as you can see from them playing the game, this is not a traditional game in any way. The shot layout is very different from what you're used to. It's much simplified. There are simply 5 shot lanes. And that's intentional. Genevieve's going to play it now. It's not a 3-ball game. It's not a 5-ball game. when the ball drains, it just launches another ball. So it's a multi-level game. You play through level one, you play through level two. If you get through level three, four, and five, things will change. We'll have a final battle at the end. It's a redemption-style game of pinball. If you don't get through a level, your game is over, and that's it. So the flippers go dead after the time runs out, and the game ends. Thank you guys for playing, but please stay up here. We're going to have you play the other games too, okay? Just hang out with me, all right? So let me change it real quick. So that is Cannon Lagoon. It's a simplified game. It's trying to hit a different demographic. People that are intimidated by machines when they walk up to them, they should be able to walk up to this one, easily understand what's going on, play through the game. If it's in a redemption type of environment, they can win their tickets, they can go get their prizes. And it explores different ways we can do things on this platform. So this is a physical module. Obviously, it's got the upper playfield. It's got a big LCD in the upper playfield. And what's interesting, again, about the system is because it's open, we can take this playfield now that's got that big LCD, and we can implement new games on this playfield that are totally different themed or have totally different rules. And you're probably looking at it thinking it's relatively simple. It's just five shots. How can that be fun? But we can do things like shoot the ball up around the right loop. Well, it's a right lane right now, but the ball can go into that hole that we have up there, and we can instantly spit a ball out the left side. So we can do what we call virtual loops, where you can shoot the ball on the right, it comes around to the left, just like it would if that loop were extended all the way around the playfield. We have what we call virtual ramps. You shoot the ball into any one of those holes, and we can instantly pop a ball out either of those two wire forms and deliver it back to the flippers. So we can create new rules around these sets of shots. Interestingly to me, and it's true when I play it as well, it's a relatively simple looking shot layout, but those posts that are little tiny quarter inch posts, they feel like they're 3 inches wide, because I don't know why, those lanes are big, but it's pretty hard to hit those shots. So Cannon Lagoon, it's full artwork package. These again are the same types of magnets that we have on Lexi Lightspeed, so these literally just come off the machine. We swapped this machine. This machine was set up as Lexi Lightspeed earlier in the game room. We swapped it out right before the seminar. And that's the deal. It comes with a magnet on the apron as well. So most games traditionally have a set of... I'll get you in a second. Most games traditionally have a set of rule cards or some little graphic on the apron area. We have a metal apron, and we've created basically the same type of magnetic artwork that we can swap out and apply to the games as you switch them up. So that's Cannon Lagoon, the second physical playfield, the second artwork package for the P3. And then you can see Trey put up a sign over here. It's showing off the whole list of games. We also have this, we call it an app launcher. Application. So the system boots up into this app launcher, and it shows you all of the games you have available on the system. The game that's selected right now is Cannon Lagoon. Because we have the upper LCD in the monitor in the upper playfield, we've chosen to show the active game or the selected game that you have on the app launcher. We've put it on the upper screen as well. So if I cycle through the games that are available, you can see the upper screen is also changing to represent which game you have selected. Now you'll see right now I have Lexi Lightspeed selected, and if I try to launch it, it won't launch because I don't have the Lexi Lightspeed playfield module installed. So the system can read from the playfield module is installed, and it can enable the applications that work with that playfield, because it would be bad if you loaded up the Lexi Lightspeed software and it was interacting with a playfield that had different switches or different coils, they were mapped to different things, you could burn things up or things just wouldn't work right. So the system detects what's in there. It enables the applications. I think they're rigging the tickets so that they win all the new prizes. So this is the launcher. We have a second, let's go to a game we call... Those of you who saw our early prototypes have seen versions of these games before. We had two games we called Rocks and Barnyard that we developed way early on to show some of the technology we were developing. And we took them out when we developed Lexi Lightspeed because we had a new platform with a new software system, and we had to write everything again. And there are three people standing behind me who apparently really enjoyed Barnyard and Rocks. So due to popular demand, we have rewritten and recreated those playing experiences on this game. So let me let you all play again. Who wants to play Rocks? Gavin wants to play Rocks. All right, just like a pinball machine, you hit that start button. All of the walls and scoops on the playfield come out. And he is trying to aim that physical pinball at that virtual asteroid that's floating around the screen. When the ball rolls over it, it blows up. He's cleared the level, so the three scoops opened up. He shot the ball into the scoops, and it warped into another area of the game. He's trying to show off flipper skills. Like all of our new games, this one gets progressively harder. So as he continues playing through the waves, there'll be more asteroids to shoot. They'll break up into larger pieces. I'm sorry, I never got to your question. I'll get to you again.
Just a comment.
There's a comment. Sorry? The question is, if it gets harder, how come it doesn't get faster?
Yeah.
It will. The rocks will move around faster. As he loses his shield, it will damage the flippers. So the rocks, after they break through the shield, they'll start hitting the flippers. The flippers will get weaker, and basically the game will get more difficult. I should mention these are all early release versions of all these software programs. We're not ready to ship all these games, but these are concepts that we're showing now, and they'll continue to evolve and get more interesting and more complex over time. We got to start somewhere, that's right. High score. Congratulations, Gavin. All right, now for the kids. Wait, you're a kid. So Rocks is a game where we lifted up all the walls and the scoops to block the progression of the ball to the upper playfield. So it doesn't matter that the Cannon Lagoon playfield's installed. We can play Rocks on the machine if a Lexi Lightspeed playfield's installed. All we care about is the playfield up there needs to be able to deliver balls down to the flippers. Beyond that, any game can be installed while you play that Rocks, any playfield. Barnyard is an interesting game in the sense that it interacts with the playfield. But it also doesn't matter if you have Barnyard in there, Lexi Lightspeed, or any of the other games that we're developing or will develop over the years. The physical pinball can interact with toys and ramps and targets and loops and things on the playfields. You love her. The animals were restless. I was talking too long.
Jared, can you talk to us about what Dennis Norman did and you got anything what the body was doing?
Yeah. So this is a game that's obviously targeting kids, and we feel like it's an interesting way for as I hear the machine doing weird things in the background. So just like any other machine, we have our own diagnostic set of applications, which includes, you know, switch tests and coil tests and all those things you need to use if you're trying to diagnose a machine. Okay, it is clear now. It's fixed. I'm actually going to just talk a little more about the game, but thank you guys for playing these games for us, and here's what I want to do. I want to send each of you with a t-shirt. These are as small as they get, so if they don't fit, you're going to have to grow into it. But I want to give you all one more thing. This is for your home game room. Here's one of each of our translites. There is a Lexi Lightspeed translite and a Canon Lagoon translite. Thank you for your help. So there was a question back here a while ago. Yes.
Okay, two things.
Yes. It's a specific question about whether or not we've developed a module with a mechanism that is similar to something specific you're thinking of? Okay. Right. So, no, we haven't developed anything beyond Lexi Lightspeed and Canon Lagoon yet. We're a startup company, and we're just getting going. We have a roadmap of games we want to develop. We have a roadmap of licenses we want to go get. And we will continue developing our games over time, as well as we hope people like you with ideas or other manufacturers or other hobbyists will create, turn their ideas into creations. And the thing about that is we will help you do that. We're releasing the dev kits, we're releasing the specs. We also have a set of people who now know how to design games for this system. And we can hook them up with you, or you up with them, and help you implement your ideas on the system. More questions about what we just saw. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, you had two questions. Sure.
I noticed that the playing field reacts to the ball, right? Can the computer read where the ball is and actually play a game itself, like, or does it look kind of
the question is, given that the screen knows where the ball is at all times, the play field, can we set up the machine to play itself because it knows where the ball is? The answer is yes. A couple of years ago, I wrote up a quick little demo to show that off, and we actually want to implement not just demonstration self-playing computer, but potentially a computer program that's smart enough to change the game as you're playing it, lift up targets to block your shots depending on certain modes, or even, that's right, or even allow you to play a multiplayer game against something who knows what to shoot, when to shoot, and how to shoot it. So yes, it's a cool idea, and we'd like to see that develop for sure. My dream is to have the P3 do a live catch. I'm sure the algorithm for that will be fun. Yes, Kim. The question is that head latched up? It is not right now. This, again, is our prototype cabinet. The cabinet over here with the weird buttons on it, that you're probably wondering why it's got all those buttons on it, is our production cabinet. This also has a head that does just fold down. And the way the hinge works, the hinge is well in front of the head itself, so it's not tending to lean forward. However, the way the hinges are set up, Les found the bolt there. He's screwing it into the back of the hinge to lock it in place. It's the exact same size of bolt. I'm standing behind a machine and talking to people. It's the exact same size of bolt that we use for the legs. So same wrench, same size screw or bolt. It goes into the back of the hinge, which goes into a T-nut inside the machine to lock down the head. So the head cannot be knocked over accidentally once you have those bolts in place. This machine is interesting because we've talked about the modularity. We haven't really talked about the button boxes. I mean, a lot of people walk up to the machine and they see these three buttons and they don't know what they're all for. Well, we put them on there because we have this interesting interactive display and we can do new cool things and video-style gameplay and we can implement different features. But we can also put on different styles of interface devices. So this one has three buttons. For fun, we threw on this demo cabinet button boxes with single humongous buttons. Canon Lagoon is a redemption style of game. It doesn't make sense to have a complicated device, input device, that people don't understand when they walk up to it. I guarantee everyone will know what to do with those buttons. They'll press them. Heck, we put them on there and we can't stop hitting them either. We just walk around the booth and hit the buttons. But we've been talking about doing things like gun handles or demolition man style, even mounting things from the sides that come over the top of the lockdown bar that have maybe a steering wheel for a racing game or any kind of mechanism we can think of, we can mount to this game. More questions? Up front, yes. Yes. Yes, so the question is about Dennis Nordman, who was involved with the company when we got started. Dennis Nordman designed Lexi Lightspeed Escape from Earth. He designed the concept and he designed the early playfield layout for us. And then he moved on and we've moved on to other things. We developed the game rules for it and we've developed Cannon Lagoon ourselves. So Dennis was involved with developing that first game. And now we've taken some other avenues and other people to design new games for it.
So he has nothing to do with it in the future.
Dennis Nordman is the man for Lexi Lightspeed. But yeah, he's not involved with the rest of the development of the platform. That's correct. And we like to do the same with other designers. And we've been talking to other designers about doing new games for the platform itself. I mean, all these designers, they have tons of ideas. And they've wanted to implement for a while. And we've given them a way to introduce new technology and to implement their ideas without getting a company to build an entire system. More questions? Yes?
Can that be used as a ticket redemption game?
Can it be used as a ticket redemption game? The answer is yes, and that's one of our intentions with Cannon Lagoon. So we've been talking about ways to mount ticket dispensers in there, and there's also the digital ticket dispensers that put them back on cards and things too. So absolutely yes. Question.
If you're a hobbyist and want to design a game, how hard is it to design video assets? Like, you have a lot of screen estate you've got to fill up potentially.
The question is, if you're a hobbyist trying to design a game for the system, how difficult is it to do things like fill up the digital display with interesting content? And you know, we all have different skill sets. I'm a hardware designer, I do some software development. I can't draw, I can't create graphical content, but I know somebody who can. And we have a couple of graphic designers, graphic artists, who create the content for our machine. We use a system called the Unity Game Engine, which is a popular game engine that a lot of developers use these days to create games for all the popular platforms. The Unity Game Engine includes, the company that runs it has an asset store. You can literally go onto their store, search for a house, and you can find models of houses that you can download and stick into your game. So the availability of content is growing, and then of course if you know an artist who can develop custom content for you. We also have built into the platform all of the basics that you need to control a game. We have assets for the scoreboard, we have assets for pop-ups that, you know, give you awards, we have the rules and the logic to handle all of the player maintenance, you hit the start button and a new player gets added, they play through a game, the ball drains, it switches to the next player. All that's built into the system. Developers that come on can download the kit and they can literally add the fun stuff. They don't need to worry about all the how to enter a high score, how to create a service menu, how to do any of that stuff. It's all done for them. So what we've tried to do is give people the ability to be creative and to develop their own content, but not have to worry about what we call the boring stuff. Any more questions? So with these three games, well, four games, and Lexi Lightspeed, that means someone purchasing the platform has the option to put a traditional style game on there, which is Lexi. They can put this redemption style game on there, which is Cannon Lagoon. They can have these other types of mechanisms. They got young kids, you know, Barnyard seems like a silly, simple little game, but young kids love it. They walk up to the machine at shows, they find it, and they flip it to Barnyard, and that's what they play. They play it for hours. So what we've tried to do is create a system that interests everyone in the family or everyone in the organization or to give everyone something about the machine that they can enjoy. And this is what we're starting with. We have ideas that go completely the other direction. We want to implement games that are super deep and cooperative, and you have to progress through them over days and weeks and years to get through new content. Obviously, it takes a lot longer to develop things like that. And we've been talking for a long time about what our original game number 2 was going to be, Cosmic Kart Racing. which is a intricate layout game with fairly deep game rules. But interestingly, that game, once it's on a machine, can connect over a network to another machine. And you can race against friends or people across the country or across the world who also have the machine in that game. So it's a modern world. There are computers and networks and things that allow us to do different things. And I think it's finally time somebody takes advantage of that in the pinball industry. So that's what we're doing. We're running a show special. We know the machine is expensive. We set our final price point. $9,875 gets the machine and Lexi Lightspeed. The thing about the P3 is once you buy that machine, once you have the cabinet, once you've paid that money, get the flippers and the cabinet and the legs, the back box, once you have all those things, you never need to spend a lot of money again. A lot of money being relative. Add-on game kits, game modules that plug into it, $1,500, $2,000, $2,500, depending on the complexity of the game. Cannon Lagoon is clearly a fairly low-complexity playfield, so it'll be relatively inexpensive. Somebody else might design something with all kinds of crazy toys and mechanisms. It might be on the higher side, $3,000 or $3,500, depending on what it takes to implement that. You never need to pay new-in-box pricing ever again once you own a P3. For the duration of this show, we're running a show special. Anyone who signs up to buy a machine, and when I say signs up, I mean literally just writes their name on a form and gives us the form. I actually have forms here that I forgot to put out that I should put out right now. So we call these pre-order forms. These are literally just forms you can put your name on, put your address, tell us you're interested in buying a game. We're not asking for your money. We're not asking for a down payment. We're not asking for anything until we get to production. So we'll get you on the list. If you sign up now, then when we get to production, which we're in pre-production now, so we're hoping that's not too long from now, then you'll get the option to buy, for that same price, the $98.75, all five games. So you pay that one price, you get Lexi Lightspeed, Escape from Earth, you get Cannon Lagoon, it comes with Rocks, it comes with Barnyard, and it comes with the other game that I didn't show anybody. Oops. So we have another game. I promised to show you a game swap. So let's do that now. Let me shut down the machine because we do game swaps with the power off. The fifth game that I didn't talk about is a game that's built on the Lexi Lightspeed playfield. So because we have the Cannon Lagoon playfield installed, we need to see how to switch playfields. Like any game, you take out the playfield glass. Les can lift that playfield into service position after he turns the power off. All right, it's the service position. He'll walk around to the back. There are a couple connectors in the back which he'll disconnect. TJ zooming in on them. They're all readily accessible right at the top of that playfield. And after a long, arduous process of grabbing all of his tools and screwdrivers and hammers, he will lift that pull. Just kidding. So Cannon Lagoon's out. He grabbed the Lexi Lightspeed playfield. He's sliding it back in. It's in place. He needs to plug those connectors back in so it can actually work. There's three connectors in the back. One has the main power harness, one has an Ethernet cable, and one has a USB cable. So that people who develop things on their playfields, they can really develop anything they want. If they want some complex set of processing requirements, they can just hook up that Ethernet cable back to the main system. I hid the glass. Well, yeah, let's put it back in. Thank you. Thanks, Ben. All of the driver boards and switchboards that one would need to interface the physical features on their playfield with the game are on the playfield itself. So, for example, Cannon Lagoon has a bunch of tubes and things that the ball can go into. It's hard to see as I lift up this heavy playfield. There's a switchboard on the back, a little tiny 16-input switchboard that's way back here. That's the entire circuitry that's on this playfield. Where is it?
It's right there.
There it is. Lexi Lightspeed is more complicated. It's got a driver board and switchboards on it. But the point is that anything you can conceive to put on a playfield, you can also put the circuitry to control it on that playfield. The main control system in the box doesn't need to know anything about your playfield. It just connects back up to what we have is a serial control system. So two of the wires in that harness were the serial wires that connect back to the system, and then everything communicates together.
Does that have a surge protector built in the game?
Is there a surge protector built in the game? There's lots of security mechanisms built into the game, and there are lots of compliance agencies we need to certify the machine with before we can ship it, but all that is taken care of, yes. You'll notice TJ showing you that Cannon Lagoon now is locked. Cannon Lagoon cannot run because that playfield's no longer in the system. However, the other games that were locked before, Lexi Lightspeed Escape from Earth, and this other game, Lexi Lightspeed Secret Agent Showdown, are now unlocked. So if we start that game up, Lexi Lightspeed Secret Agent Showdown is a mini game. And when I say mini game, that's a software application that works with an existing playfield module. This specific one is built on top of the Lexi Lightspeed codebase. Because what we've tried to do is give people an experience that interacts with some of the cooler toys on that playfield without forcing them to go through the process of playing through the deep, complex rule set. If somebody wants just to try to, you know, a lot of people walk up to the game, actually, and try to lock 8 balls into that physical ball lock. That's their sole goal. They walk up, they hit start, they launch the balls, they try to light lock, and they try to lock those balls. So we've created a game that basically gives them the opportunity to play that specific goal or a set of a few specific goals instead of trying to progress through to a wizard mode or those kind of things. Marcus, do you want to play it? All right, Marcus, please come up and play. Marcus Trevino. Secret Agent Showdown.
So what's the objective?
He asked me what the objective is. All you're trying to do is it's going to feed balls to you one at a time, but it's going to feed 8 balls to you. And each of those balls you're trying to lock into the spaceship.
And lock it by hitting the ramp?
You lock it by hitting the shot into next to the LCD.
Okay.
That's the entire purpose of the game. After you get through the 8th ball, all the balls that are locked will turn into a multi-ball. You'll get to play through the agent attack multi-ball. If he shoots it into any hole, whether it's the drain hole or the mode hole or the secret hole, any hole on that playfield is essentially a drain. It'll move on to the next ball. The spaceship isn't completely behaving, so it's taken a few seconds each time he shoots it to register. But it is registering. And then he lost the final ball. So now it's going to start that multi-ball. Or this is the 8th ball, excuse me. So now he gets to play through as many balls as he locked into the ship. He gets to play through that standard agent multi-ball mode that we have in the regular Lexi Lightspeed game. If the ship works and releases balls for him. He's trying. Thanks, Marcus. Thanks for your demo.
I know.
Well, this is not going to be an exciting demonstration of multi-ball. Because it's not kicking out any balls. But we'll take care of it. We'll get it fixed. We'll have it in the game room to play later and let people experience it. It's fun to walk up to a game and just shoot for a very specific goal. That 8-ball multi-ball, well, how about we just turn it off? No, I'll just exit.
Sorry, bro.
No, you didn't break it. What it is... The way that spaceship mechanism works, if all the balls get loaded on the same side, it's got to try a lot harder because it's got a lot more weight to overcome. And because it didn't transition properly between locks, it didn't distribute the balls properly. It's a software. We should blame the software guy.
That's, are you going to think of doing it?
I'm the software guy, by the way. I wrote that code.
Maybe move to your spots so that way.
That's exactly what's supposed to happen. Yeah. So anyway, the point is, we have this big game, Lexi Lightspeed Escape from Earth, and we have a couple of simple, cool objectives. So we've created games around those cooler, smaller objectives to allow people to walk up to the game, hey, I just want to try to deliver that 8-ball multi-ball real quick, and they can play a game. You could set up a little competition between friends or set up a tournament where it's just going for that 8-ball multi-ball. Yes, question. The question is, how vulnerable is the system because it's open to whatever, viruses or malware or anything else? It's open in the sense that we're releasing the development kit for it so you can create games. We are not going to allow people just to create games and ship them to people and send and let them install it on their games. We will validate all games that get distributed for the P3. In fact, we're working on what we call our App Store. So people will develop these mini games or full complex games. We will validate them for them. We'll put them on our catalog, on our library, on our online system where the machine itself will then log into our App Store. Potentially, you can navigate the system on the machine itself. You can go and see new games. You can download them. You can try them out. After a couple days, they expire unless you pay for them. And you can create, you can download all that content on your machines. If it comes with a new playfield, obviously, you'll need to send in an order and we'll need to ship you the playfield or the artwork. We will also work with other companies who are developing games so they can sell directly to you their playfields, but they still need to be validated by us. We can't have people developing games that randomly turn on coils or activate features because that could cause damage to the machine. So we need to be involved in the loop, but we'll make sure the games are working properly before they're made available to you.
I have a question. So
yes.
Is this on that 8-ball capture like a Ferris wheel? So if you were a home builder and you had a similar concept, would you be able to access a consultant for us to figure out who we can talk to build something like that?
Yeah, so the question is related to the development of new games with new ideas. Will we help connect people with developers or people who can help?
Who can,
so this is more on the manufacturing side. Yes, we have relationships now with contract manufacturers, with fabricating companies, with all the types of people that you need to create and make and distribute these games. So yes, we will help you do that. I'm told my time is running out, so if there's one more question, we'll take care of that. If not, then like I said, the 5 games for 1 price deal requires you to sign up by the end of the show. If you're inclined to do so now, please fill out the form and give it back to us now. Once we get past the end of the show, then it'll be back to that same price, buys you the machine plus just Lexi Lightspeed Escape from Earth. Throughout the rest of the show, we're going to take these machines back, and we'll have all of these games, Barnyard Rocks, Cannon Lagoon, all available at various times throughout the rest of the show for you to play. So thank you for coming.
Raffle?
More prizes? All right, let's give away some more stuff. Shanti, will you please pick a ticket out? Number 2007, we have a t-shirt for you. 2007, yes, very good. Everybody's leaving now. They're missing their prize. All right, 2 more translights. Let's give away a translight. Grab a ticket for me, please. Thanks. Thank you. Number 2059. 2059. Is he here? You already have one. But you win. No, you're getting it. You're taking this translate. You can sell it. It's a very valuable item. Wait, which one of you had it? Gavin. No, it was Collins. You grab a ticket for me, please.
Sure.
1 more translate. Number is 2045. Right here in front. Cannon Lagoon translates. There you go. One more thing about the pre-orders. Just want to reiterate, they're completely free. There's no commitment. We're not asking for money. Just sign up. When we get to production, we'll email you again. We'll ask you if you really want to go through with your purchase. If you signed up today, when we email you and you decide to go through with the purchase, you'll get the 5 games for 1 price deal. Thank you all for coming.